Hello, this is the July 24th meeting of the KPFT Management Selection and Review Committee. I am Susan Young, and I am the chair pro tem for this meeting. Will the secretary please take the roll?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Teresa Allen.
Present.
David Britton.
Here.
Thank you. Adriana Casanez. Back. Joseph Davis.
I am present, Joseph Davis.
Thank you. Bob Gartner.
We see that Bob is here. Bob, can you unmute yourself so that you can acknowledge your presence?
I'm present.
Great.
Wally James.
Here.
Marianne Martinez.
Present.
John Kelly McPherson.
Here.
Nancy Savarinar-Cohen.
Present.
Thank you. Jane Scheidler is here. Richard Uzel.
Here.
Ted Weisgall. And Susan Young.
Adriana Casnave is here.
Thank you, Adriana.
You're welcome.
And yes, Madam Secretary, I am here. This is Susan Young.
Thank you. So far, the only person I have missing is Ted Weisgall. Madam Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. And congratulations, Jane, on being elected secretary. And the third agenda item is for us to address the tie for committee chair.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I think Frank Fracco sent out.
Apologies. Frank Fracco requested an excused absence, and so did Sandy Weinman. Is there any objection to accepting those excused absences? Hearing none, Frank Fracco and Sandy Weinman are listed as having excused absences.
Thank you. Okay. I'm on the roster, so that's another thing I'll take care of.
Right, great. Okay, so the next item is there was a tie for committee chair. Joseph Davis and I are neck and neck. And so there, we need to address a means to break the tie. Teresa, did you have your hand up? Teresa, you're muted. You're muted.
Sorry. I move that we extend the MSRC, voting until maybe this Friday, July 28th.
There's no need for a second in a committee meeting. Is there discussion about the motion? Joseph, you had your hand up.
Yes, we haven't actually completed the election yet because of the tie. Extending would be a violation of the bylaws. And if we just go to page 42 of the bylaws, Article 15, Section 1, and you can read it yourself. Just please read your own copy. It's the last line of the first paragraph. It says exactly how to resolve a tie. I don't want to read it. I read too many bylaws. Please, somebody else read it.
So there's a motion. Sean, conversation?
I would rather just extend the election, do this via a democratic process, and let people vote. That's what we're supposed to be about.
That's a violation of the bylaws, Mr. McPherson. Sorry.
So democracy
let me just comment that I asked Terry.
It's nuts.
Let me just say, commentary. No, I asked Terry Goodman, who is handling the balloting in the time of COVID when we are not in person, and he recommended either extending the balloting or a coin toss. So, is there more conversation?
I would like to say that for most of this time, I was out of pocket at a convention, and I'm, actually I've lost track of what all I was voting for at that time, and it was very difficult for me to get through my email at that time. So I'm probably one of those people that didn't vote, so I would like it to be extended so I could vote. Thank you.
So Adriana hasn't spoken yet. Adriana, and then we'll go back to Joseph and Richard.
Yes, Madam Chair. I mean, it's very clear that what Joseph said is from the bylaws. I mean, it doesn't matter what excuse you want to put there. The bylaws are the bylaws. We keep violating the bylaws just because.
So, yes, go ahead. Joseph, then Richard, and then we will vote.
Okay, well, since nobody read the bylaws, I will go ahead and read the last line from the first paragraph of Article 15, Section 1, Voting Methods, which says, if this does not resolve the tie, in other words, the RRV messes, and we prevent from that, the winner will be selected by lot, open parenthesis, flipping a coin or other agreed-upon method of chance. There's no options for extending. There's no options for changing it. That is what it says. The winner will be selected. There's no option to do anything else. The bylaws require us to resolve this by chance. Thank you.
Objection. That is not a reading of the bylaws. That is Mr. Davis's comment on the bylaws. And I reiterate, that is the idea that the bylaws will contradict the democratic process is just ludicrous.
So are we ready to vote? So, Madam Secretary.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Nancy,
you notice that I'm holding up on video that I have read directly from the bylaws. So I'm holding them in my hand.
Thank you, Joseph. You have been heard. So, Madam Chair, did you have a comment? And Nancy, and I think Teresa. Nancy.
Yes. Let's stick to the bylaws, people.
Okay, thank you. Richard.
Do you know all the amendments that have been made to those bylaws? I don't. And I don't know that they're written down there. Those bylaws have been around a long time, and they've been up and down many times. I also talked to Terry Goodman. Terry Goodman has done thousands of these elections, and he said just what Susan said, that we can either extend the balloting or we can draw straws.
Okay, Teresa, do you have another comment?
I was just going to say, if the chief teller gave us those as options, then I think that we should put it to a vote.
Okay, so Madam Secretary, will you please take the roll vote?
Madam Chair, point of order.
What's your point of order?
My point of order is that any action other than soliciting by lot is a direct violation of bylaws, article, as I said earlier.
Please send me your point of order in writing.
Yeah, let me, I will.
Please send me your point of order in writing so it can be
for the stream right now. The bylaw we are violating is Article 15, Section 1, first paragraph, last line. Thank you.
Thank you. Your point of order will be included in the minutes. Madam Secretary, please take the roll.
The vote.
Sir, it's not about the point of order.
Please reiterate.
It is about the election. It is about voting to extend.
Madam Chair, you need to rule on the point of order.
She did.
Okay. I ruled against the point of order because, let me just say, in exigent circumstances, which include the pandemic, The bylaws are not being observed in a number of ways, including there is no public comment in PNB meetings. There are numerous ways in which adjustments have been made. So I'm ruling your point of order out of order. Madam Secretary.
Very well. I will challenge the ruling of the chair.
Okay. The ruling of the chair has been challenged. Madam Secretary, please take the roll for if you vote yes, you are sustaining the ruling of the chair, calling this point of order out of order. If you vote no, you are supporting the objection to the ruling of the chair. Madam Secretary, please take the roll.
Rita Allen.
Yes, to support the chair.
David Britton.
Yes.
And Brianna Costin.
We can barely hear you, Madam Secretary.
Hey, hold on. It's incredibly complicated. I mean, is that better?
Yes.
Adriana Casanave.
Vote no.
Joseph Davis.
I vote no. Thank you.
Thank you.
Robert Gartner.
Robert, you're muted.
If you right, left.
Okay. Continue and come back to him. Jane, next.
Vote? Thank you.
Next.
Somebody
okay, Robert, what's
muting
your vote?
Me.
What's your
I wish
no,
you
we are
keep
not
your
muted.
Hands off that button.
No one's hands are on the button, Robert. What is your vote?
I vote no.
Okay. Wally, so, Madam well, Secretary,
Wally
continue.
James.
Yes.
Wally James. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Don Kelly McPherson.
We can't hear you.
Yes.
Thank you. Nancy Sabara-Naratomi. No. Jane Scheidler, yes. Richard Uzel.
Yes.
Ted is not here. Susan Young.
Yes.
Madam Chair, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yeses. 1, 2, 3, 4 noes.
Okay, so the chair's ruling is sustained. Next, we go back to the motion, which is to extend the balloting. Madam Secretary, please take the roll.
Yes, Allen.
Yes is to extend the balloting. No is opposing extending the balloting.
Commissioner Allen.
Allen says yes, extend.
David Britton.
Yes.
Adriana Casanave.
No.
Joseph Davis.
No, thank you.
Robert Gartner.
They're trying to vote. But you're in my chair, Ted. Vote. My God.
Robert. We're hearing you talk. Would you please
okay.
Vote?
I voted the same way Joseph Davis did. And I don't think you got Weisgall's vote from the other thing.
Okay.
I called.
We did not. He had not stated that he was in attendance.
Well, yeah, he is in attendance. You got his attendance.
No, we did not.
Trouble with his computer.
We did not. No. And so, Ted, are you now in attendance?
I've been in attendance since the beginning, and I voted no on sustaining the decision of the chair, and I vote no on this matter as well.
So we Great. Need you to speak up when you are attending because the secretary asked more than once and you didn't speak up. Okay, so
point
if
of
there
order.
Are no objections, if
point
there are no
order.
Objections, if there
point
are no
order,
objections,
please.
We will add Ted to the two votes.
A chair, this is Nancy.
Point of order.
But Robert, wait, point of order, please.
We are in a vote.
I thought you were
going.
We are in a vote.
We're in a vote.
Yeah, point of order is at any time, even during a vote.
So then, Nancy, what is your point of order?
By Robert's Rules of Order, when the secretary calls the roll and there's a vote going on, the secretary needs to repeat the person's name and how they voted.
Thank you for sharing that. Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Continue with the vote.
That way the voter knows that their vote was heard.
Nancy, you have made your point. Please, let's continue with the vote.
Wally, I'm glad you enlightened me.
Or else.
Okay, so Wally James is what?
Wally,
you're muted. Okay, will you come back to Wally?
I will come back to Wally. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Thank you. Matt?
Yes. What a bunch of defects.
If you said better, tell me.
Please, Sean, no comments.
And Nancy votes no. Thank you. Jane Scheidler votes yes. Richard Uzel.
Yes.
Ted Weisfall.
Point of order, Madam Chair, the same thing as before. Would you instruct the secretary to follow Robert's Rules of Order and repeat the name of the voter and how they voted? That way there's less.
Nancy, I consider your actions to be dilatory and not contributive. Please, Madam Secretary, continue the vote.
Susan Young.
I think you missed Ted Weisfall.
Ted?
No.
Did I miss you? Because I wrote no.
Yeah, the reason you missed him, if I could just have a moment.
No, you may not, Robert. His
record. Well, you know what? Nancy's not dilatory
either. Be quiet. Susan Young votes yes. Please take the count.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, Wally James. We need to come back to Wally.
Yes.
Mac, did you vote?
Thank you, Wally.
Yes, he did.
Mac voted.
Everybody else has voted. Oh, hold on 1 second while I count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8 yeses and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 noes.
8 to 5. And the previous vote was 8 to 5 as well, recognizing Ted's vote. Okay, the matter has been, we will request Terry Goodman to extend the vote.
Now, Madam Chair, I have a point of order.
Yes.
There was a person who you've been calling people out for disruptive behavior. There was someone who referred to people on the committee as a bunch of defects. How would you like to call that person? I would like for you as chair to call them out and give them a warning. Thank you.
I volunteer. You're done.
So you have just apologized, and I didn't hear that comment, and thank you. Okay, moving on. Minutes. The minutes have been distributed. I think they were maybe previously distributed. I distributed them.
Point of information?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was just wondering, now the extension of this vote, does that mean that only those who did not vote or everybody can revote?
Everybody.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Is everybody required to, if they've already voted? Okay. Thank you.
No. Okay. Moving on, the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Teresa. There's a motion to approve the minutes. Is there any objection?
Point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can you tell me when the minutes were sent?
Well, I know I sent them today. Jane, can you tell us when they were sent first?
I sent them, I believe, the day after the, right after the previous meeting.
And I sent them again today. Okay, there's been a motion. Is there any objection to approving the minutes?
Madam Chair, put me please like abstention. I didn't see the minutes. I don't want to vote on those.
Okay, so there is no objection. There's one abstention. And Adriana's abstention is recognized in the minutes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Nancy? Yes, I'm sorry. I've been too busy. I missed the minutes. So please abstain me.
Okay, so recognize two abstentions. One is Nancy and one of them is Adriana. Welcome, Stephanie Wells, our executive director. And I have requested her to address the committee. I had previously asked that the committee meet in closed session in order to get a briefing from her about prior personnel matters. There has been considerable discussion about the appropriateness of a non-disclosure agreement in generally and whether the one that has been circulated is appropriate for local station board and where these will be held. So I noticed this as an open meeting only and ask that the executive director address us about appropriate procedures for the local station board and national board pertaining to personnel matters. Stephanie, can we give you the floor?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me to attend the meeting. And I know that there's been conversations and at multiple levels with many of the divisions, including the PMB with confidentiality agreements, non-disclosure agreements, conflict of interest agreements, all those things. And I know that some of these are new in general to many LSBs or CABs and committees and the PNB, but we really are making a concerted effort to make sure that all of those NDAs are signed, just so we can make sure that that any sort of confidential information that is discussed in closed sessions, that it is the person, people that are in part are in those meetings where this where confidential information is discussed, that those people are protected, and also that the foundation itself is protected. So I know that there has been, just from some emails that have been going back and forth and conversations that I've had with people, that the confidentiality agreement or the non-disclosure agreement that has been used at the PMB level, some people on the LSBs may feel that it doesn't pertain to LSB members, and there may be a few things that need to be tweaked within that agreement. So we're more than happy to work on that and to run that by our board chair and also our legal counsel to make sure that those non-disclosure agreements cover everything that needs to be covered and discussed, so everybody is comfortable regarding signing the non-disclosure agreement. One of the things that we also want to be able to put in the agreement is that we clarify exactly what is, needs to be held in confidentiality during any of these discussions, and also state in our confidentiality policy regarding audio and video recordings and whether those are not allowed as far as releasing some of those things with confidentiality, since we do have so many of our meetings obviously right now that are recorded and video recorded and audio recorded and things like that. So we just want to make sure that everything is covered, again, for the protection of the individuals that are signing those agreements, for the protection of any of the employees that will, there could be discussions regarding employees within closed sessions, and then to protect the foundation as well. So when it comes to dealing with any sort of employee discussions, that needs to be held in the strictest of confidentiality. It needs to be in a closed session, and particularly pertaining with any sort of, grievances that employees may have about other employees or management, or even grievances that they have about volunteers. Those need to be given strictly to staff. And then that can be in management, which would be me or an HR department. We don't have have an HR department at this time. So anytime that there is any sort of employee grievance about a fellow employee, or if there's a grievance from an employee about a volunteer, or a volunteer has a grievance about an employee, those are given to me. And then those are shared with the, I immediately have conversations and share those, keep track, you know, keep a log of any sort of grievances, and then go through the steps that we're taking to deal with that. And our legal counsel is involved in that every step of the way. And then also with the follow-up. And that's, you know, we just want to make sure that when those conversations happen, it isn't always necessary that the local station boards be involved in some of these concerns, because that is not really their role. If a grievance is given to me regarding an employee or a volunteer, but we will get the parties involved that need to be involved if we have any sort of discussion or arbitration, sort of not legal arbitration, but just sort of, you know, counseling kind of that goes back and forth. So we just want to emphasize again across the PNB and across our local boards and our committees that anytime that we do have any discussion, that we are protecting the people that are speaking, we are protecting the conversations, we are protecting the employees, we are protecting the volunteers, and we are protecting the foundation as well. On the PNB level, when the confidentiality or non-disclosure agreements are signed, they are sent out from the board president. They are returned then to the board president, the secretary, and myself. At least one of us has to receive that. Not always do people send it to me, but if they do send it off to the secretary is, you know, makes scans and copies of those. They are sent to me at some point, and then those will be kept in a secure place. So we have them. Easy, and the legal counsel has them as well, just so in case we need to pull them up at any moment, we have those readily at hand. Some people have discussed that they didn't necessarily want to email a copy to me. So some people have printed out hard copies and then they are mailed in. We don't really have a secure environment right now at KPFK where the national office is, because that building will be listed up for sale soon. And there isn't really a national office per se there, but I do have locked filing cabinets in my home where I do keep information. And I know that when NEDA, our the organization that we have that was dealing with personnel and also with financial, our CFO and such, they mailed all of the hard paper records to my home, and those are in a secure locked room, actually inside, climate controlled. I have a room downstairs that actually has a double bolt on it. So that is kind of where I keep a lot of work records and things like that. So that whole room right now is filled with a lot of the financial information and personnel records and such that NEDA had sent to me, because they felt too that that was the safest place, that they had recommended things to be sent as well. So I don't know what any questions that people have. I'm not too sure exactly what else you want me to cover, but I'm happy to open any, you know, to answer any questions that we can regarding non-disclosure agreements, any sort of confidentiality agreements that can and cannot be discussed in open session, and then any information that people had regarding the role of the LSBs or the, you know, with hearing complaints and grievances from employees.
I see three hands up. Teresa?
No, that's a legacy. Sorry, I'll take it down.
Great. Joseph, then Richard. Joseph?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Executive Director. Okay, so my concern is, of course, that we are complying with Article 12, Corporate Records, Article Section 1, Part B. So what you're saying is that at the moment, you are fulfilling that by holding them in your personal possession in a secure way. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. That's fine. I just want to know that they are available to, should anybody need them. You're the executive director, so that makes sense to me. My only other question was, I did mail my form to you. Has it been received yet?
It has not been received yet. We just had someone at the national office. I just asked them right before this as well. They scan anytime if I'm not at the office every day, which I am not. The national office has a mailbox, and when any national mail comes in, the membership department at KPFK pulls it. They don't open it They put them all in the national box and a sealed envelope, and then I go pick that up weekly, or someone else goes and picks it up that is the treasurer of KPFK, and then she has signed an agreement of confidentiality that she can open up any of those that look like they may need to be opened immediately. Usually she calls me and Zooms me and we look through the mail together, and then she will scan those and send them off to myself and also to Markeisha, our national business manager, depending upon what's needed. And then if there's something that I need a hard paper copy of, then I will go down to the office. She will put them back in a sealed envelope, put them back in the national office mailbox, and then I will go down to the national office within the next 24 to 48 hours and pick up that mail.
No, okay. Well, if we basically, whenever you get it, if you just let me know, that'd be fine. In the meantime, Chair Young, I guess you're going to have to, until it's verified that it's been received, I guess it's not officially, but I sent it, but I understand you have to protect the interests of the foundation. So thank you. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Joseph. All right. I believe that Richard is next and then Robert Gartner.
Thank you, Stephanie, for doing.
Please put me on the list, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay, great. Adriana, so you're on the list after Robert.
Thank you, Stephanie, for doing this. It's been done in the past, but that's fallen through the cracks lately, and it's really, really important. It would have saved us some thousands of dollars if we had done it in the past more. The question that I had was, the form I saw was pretty obviously intended for the PNB. In the past, we've had forms that were addressed to the LSB and to the local station. Do we have anything like that, or are we all signing the PNB thing, or how are we doing that and making that differentiation?
To my knowledge, the NDA that is being circulated now for people to sign has been the same NDA that the PNB has signed. But based upon recent concerns and questions regarding the confidentiality agreement, it is being requested that the PNB approve to rewrite or revise the NDA to make it more conducive to the roles of committee members, LSBs, CABs, however they want that to be. And it may be as simple as we put all that in there, CABs, LSBs, committees, so we don't have to make 8 or 9 different, different forms. And then if someone is sitting on I would think just for efficiency's sake, if someone sits on the PMB, they sit on a CAB, or they sit on an LSB, and they sit on a few committees, being a board member of other foundations myself, just with volunteer work, I would rather not sign an NDA with the same organization 4 separate times because I happen to sit and have 4 different roles. So I would rather, if there's a specific one to the PNB that may be more detailed, we go ahead and keep that. And if somebody is a PNB and an LSB CAB committee member, they may have to sign too. Sorry for the inconvenience, but it really is just 2. And if somebody is sitting on the LSB and a few committees, we can make it generic enough that they can circle, or we can even write in, what positions do you hold? What do you volunteer with? And they can either circle, check, write, whatever is most convenient, and they could just sign one that could hold for all of that. And then that would, to me, that would be the most efficient.
Yeah.
Is efficiency a key phrase within the world of Pacifica? Not always. But
no.
We will attempt to try to make it as efficient and easy as possible for everyone so that it will be in the process of being rewritten. And again, I want to double check with the NDAs. I wasn't involved in that writing of that, is to make sure that we have in the NDA that we're also covering any sort of audio or video recordings, along of the certain, so those would be included as well. So we don't have to do this again 2 months down the road, or 3 months down the road.
Sounds very thorough. In the meantime, we'll sign the PNB one.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you.
I don't think the PMB is meeting they just met last Thursday. So I would hope that this would not constitute an emergency meeting to get everybody together to pass a motion like that, please. And then that would just be brought up in the next one. And it may be as simple as it's just, that we may be able to revive. No, everybody will have to re-sign it. But yeah, I mean, it's a signature. I know we're all busy, but it's a signature.
All right.
Okay. Sorry, Richard. Robert Gartner, then Adriana.
This is Ted, and I'm at Bob Gartner's computer. So it's me with my hand up. May I continue to speak?
Absolutely. Recognizing you, Ted.
Stephanie, there are so many different bylaw violations that have occurred, including the one that says in committee meetings, you're allowed to talk as long as you are not redundant and you are germane. And we don't follow that. We are being told we have an opportunity to ask you one question, two questions, and that is it. The whole principle behind this whole issue of non-disclosure agreements is that the bylaws say what you have to do to be a full-fledged member of this body. And I have said in writing, and I have spoken out about this, that whether I sign a non-disclosure agreement or not, if I violate the trust of this organization, there can be an investigation and a trial, and I can be removed. But to require me to sign some kind of an oath is not consistent with the bylaws. I don't care what the national board says. I don't care what the lawyer says. The bottom line is the bylaws say what the truth is, and we should be beholden to that truth. And if I violate that trust, I could be expelled. And I'm asking you to reconsider the position that you are taking.
So let me just comment that, Ted, there's no limitation in this meeting for the number of questions that people can ask of the executive director. And a suggestion I have is that that question might not just be posed to Stephanie, but also to the board chair and general counsel. Okay, Teresa.
I would like to say one more thing before I yield. And that is, if we're going to follow the rules, I would like to know whether or not this meeting was properly announced on the air. And if so, how many times and when? There's supposed to be a record of the announcement of these meetings for this public radio station. There has never been, under the jurisdiction of this interim general manager, we have not heard anything that validates that these meetings are being public. I am done for now.
Okay. I can't recall exactly what the list was, but I believe Adriana, then Teresa, then Mac.
Yes.
Adriana?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I want to, I'm sorry. Ms. Wells, you mean that when once that we sign the confidentiality agreement, you think that is sufficient, right? Does that allow us to receive the information and it will be, you know, we are covered by that, right?
Correct.
Okay. If it's like that, can you tell me why I cannot receive in the PMB? I signed that and they decide that they will not give me any of the information that I'm entitled to. Some directors can have it and some of us cannot because I'm covered by that. And they decide that maybe somebody will leak. And obviously some members must be special members because, you know, they can receive information and some of us cannot.
Well, this is a kind of a different topic, but I believe that a lot of the materials that you rightfully requested to see when you first got on the PNB, Arthur and Julie Hewitt, the board chair, and then Arthur Schwartz, our legal counsel, both answered those questions, and a lot of information that I had that I forwarded to you and then Arthur and Julie forwarded to you or gave you answers to the information that was there, including minutes and loan documents.
Adriana, this is a matter to take up with the PNB, not with the Management Selection and Review Committee. And so I am saying that I'm calling you out of order for being, for not being germane to what the purpose of this committee meeting is. Okay, Teresa.
Yes, it is.
Teresa.
Yes. Are we asking our executive director questions about just the NDA situation or, about the evaluation of the GM?
At the moment, we're talking about the NDA, but the evaluation of the GM,
the IGM.
The IGM, the question of confidentiality around that process.
Okay. I have a question for later then. Thank you very much for your hard work, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
And Max? Stephanie, would you, Richard, do you have a question?
Oh, I thought there were people ahead of me. I did not appreciate the last question to the executive director because that puts her in a position where she's being asked to come into the PNB's business. It's not her place to do that. And she knows that. And she said that she answered it very, very discreetly. And, the member who asked that question, I think was way out of order.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. All right. Teresa, do you still have a question? Mac, did you have a question? Okay, Mac, did you have a question? You're muted.
Chair, there are other people.
My question was this.
Hang on a minute, Nancy. You're next on the stack.
If we're a listener,
I did not ask to be on the stack.
Okay, Nancy, please do not talk. Mac is on the stack. Go ahead.
If we're supposed to be a listener station board, then I suggest that the members of this board start listening because the remarks of a previous commentator completely evidence that they are not listening to the station and the repeated notices regarding meetings. Thank you.
Okay, so Robert, you're on the stack.
This one,
or is that Ted? Is that Ted?
This is Ted.
Okay. Ted, we don't hear you. Ted, we don't hear you.
That's not okay, a bad Ted. Thing.
Ted, we'll come back to you. Stephanie, may I ask you please to stay with us on this call? There may be some additional questions that come up. And then also, the next conversation is around procedure for the, LSB evaluation of the IGM. But let me offer to the committee that based on emails from various folks, it suggests to me that we are not as yet made the decision, do not agree necessarily about whether the next task should be evaluation of the IGM or whether the next task should be moving forward with posting and evaluating or getting candidates to serve as the permanent GM. And I would like to open that conversation. I think, Ted, you were one of the people who raised this issue. Is that something you wish to discuss? Ted, are you there? I'd like to ask other committee members whether there are opinions about this, because we have been trying to move forward on the IGM evaluation. Joseph, I see your hand up. Don't know if that's legacy, but what I'd like to do is to quickly comment that the bylaws provide for the evaluation of a GM. We currently have an IGM. I mentioned in an email that Sandy had requested that he be evaluated, but he requested that at the 6 month mark, and we went past that largely because we were in financial difficulties and had and needed to focus first and foremost on fund drives. And so then the question is, and I think it's been raised by Ted, how long is an IGM supposed to stay in position? I will remind us all that we are in a situation of great financial difficulty and that our IGM at this time is on a voluntary basis. I think our first conversation is, do we continue to do an IGM evaluation? Or do we try to proceed with a posting for a permanent GM? I think, Teresa, you're first up, and then I think Robert Gartner.
Stephanie, you were conducting evaluations of the staff, and I believe you started with self-evaluations. Do you feel that we should ask Sandy Wyman for a self-evaluation first? And should he do a separate self-evaluation with the LSB in addition to the one that he does for you?
No, because there's no reason for a staff member to have to, again, efficiency, to have to do basically the same thing twice. Mm-hmm. If the evaluation process is multiple levels and layers, and a self-evaluation that an employee would do with their manager wouldn't be, I would hope, any different from an evaluation that they would do for a personnel committee. Mm-hmm. The goal of the evaluations is for any employer to try to make sure that we are giving the tools to an employee, giving the necessary tools to an employee to help them get better. Evaluations aren't meant to be a tool to find ways to fire someone or reprimand someone. An evaluation is made to help employees do better. One of the first things that we're sending out, even that I've added to the evaluation process, is how do employees feel about the organization as a whole? Is this a happy place to work? Are you in a hostile environment? How do you feel about the future of the organization? And those are things that need to be taken in consideration to any sort of employee that is a part of an organization, and that's going to be sent out to volunteer employees as well, because this is a foundation, and it needs to be treated as what we are, a 501c3 foundation. And the evaluation process is to help, not hinder and not hurt. And that's not being sort of, step on it lightly, but even if somebody got a poor evaluation, the goal and role and responsibility of the organization, whether it's a for-profit or a small business, a nonprofit, whatever it is, that organization's responsibility is to make sure we've done everything we can to help an employee succeed. Are we giving them the tools? Are we giving them the support? And if we're not doing that, we are not doing our role and our job and our responsibility as an organization. And so in the evaluation process, you get nervous. If anybody on this call has had a job before, as soon as you get, it's evaluation time. It's either with dread of, oh, I've got to take the time to do this, or it's a trepidation. It's like, oh, you know, what am I going to get yelled at for? And the what am I going to get yelled at for is sort of the feeling that a lot of the employees have within the world of Pacifica. And so people are getting a little confused because it's being looked at as a more positive thing in order for us to help the organization as a whole and help the employees rather than something that is negative. And there are, again, some employees that haven't been evaluated in over 25 years. So it's very foreign to a lot of individuals as well to be having this process. But I know that was a long answer to your question, but I would like, you know, the self-evaluation of the GMs and the employees and the IGMs or, you know, whatever that may be, is that those self-evaluations can work at the same time with the LSB evaluations, and they will work at the same time with my evaluations of employees or the general manager's evaluations of their employees. So all of that can happen at the same time. I don't think we need to wait and sort of do things in a timeline process. Just again,
are you going to help us do our evaluation so there's no duplication between with what you do and what we do?
I can easily do that. I mean, there's the evaluation forms that have been sent out to some employees from LSBs already, or, you know, even including my evaluation, is incredibly lengthy. I am not one that really has that lengthy of a time because I don't want someone to have a self-evaluation take weeks and weeks and weeks to do. I'd rather just be able to have them comfortably fill it out rather than a really lengthy time, but I'm not going to tell the LSBs what they can and cannot do in their evaluation process. So if LSBs have the personnel committees have the forms that they're comfortable with and that's what they want to do, then I'm not going to sit there and tell people, you know, change it because it doesn't make sense to me. You know, I want the LSBs to be able to continue to do what they do because the evaluation process is not just the comments that I receive from the LSBs. Those are then put into the other evaluations that take place from, you know, management, people that are working for them, evaluating them, the self-evaluation, my conversation with the person after their self-evaluation and my evaluation of them. So all of that is an integral part of the total evaluation process. One does not hold any more clout over another.
Okay. Thank you.
Jane, I believe you had your hand up.
I'm circling back to a previous question where, Susan, you mentioned the choice between evaluation of, and I may not be expressing the question clearly, the evaluation of the interim general manager compared to the search process for a permanent general manager. And my question is, the search process to fill the position as a GM, as opposed to interim GM, is that an expensive process? Is that one of the considerations? Is financial?
If I could just, thank you, Jane, if I could just add my question on, and I've put my hand up, and that's the first time I've had my hand up. I would like to add on that question to Stephanie about what your thoughts are. You've got two IGMs at the moment, and you probably understand, I don't know that we've been through a process as yet, the LSBs develop a pool of candidates, and so there needs to be a posting of a job description and compensation. So I understand that it would be the executive director's responsibility to determine the job description and the compensation and what can be accommodated in a budget. Stephanie, do you as yet have plans for posting a permanent GM position for KPFT or, for instance, for, I think that KPFK is another place with an interim.
KPFT and KPFK both have unpaid general managers. We have an interim general manager also at KPFA, but they did have the budget to pay that employee.
And he was already an employee that was there, and he just took over that role when the general manager left. It is that the job description, we have a generic job description for the general manager and program director positions. So that does exist. As far as the compensation, there is kind of a set compensation for that position across the board for the general manager. So there wouldn't be anything that was changed based on that, because there wouldn't be any justification as to why one general manager would be paid less or more than another. But it would be up to the budget that is projected for that station for the upcoming year as to whether that station could afford hiring paid personnel in some of these positions.
Okay. Ted, is that Ted or Robert? Do you have your hand up?
It's Ted. Stephanie, I've got three questions for you. The first one is, do you feel that anything we've asked you so far tonight has been unfair?
No.
Okay, thank you. Is the position, are we evaluating a person, or are we evaluating the people who have been in the position? We had Robert Franklin in the position.
Please, no names. Please, no names.
Why?
Because that gets into confidentiality, and I believe that Nancy Saibara Naratome made that comment at a previous meeting, and I think she's completely correct. If there are any conversations about a specific individual, those need to happen in a confidential session only. So refer to prior employees.
Okay. Do we evaluate prior employees and maybe going back more than 6 months or a year? Do we go back to the last time we did one of these evaluations and up to the present, or do we only evaluate the person who is serving in the volunteer capacity as an interim general manager, whose name will not be mentioned?
Thank you, Ted.
There is no reason for a committee to do an evaluation of a former employee.
Okay, and my last question is, where does the person who held this position previously and who was not, I don't completely understand what happened.
Ted, let me advise that this is getting into a matter about a specific individual and it is confidential. I suggested that we start with a closed session meeting in which the executive director could respond to questions you have posed in the past, which must only happen in the executive session.
Okay, I'm going to stop that conversation now. I'll drop that. Just ask one last question. And that was, do you think that the position that is currently held was properly posted and had the opportunity for a legitimate number of candidates to apply for the IGM position?
Stephanie, tell us how that was handled. I believe that may be okay if you use no names.
I didn't use any names.
I know. I'm advising Stephanie that, although she may say that she believes that this gets into the realm of confidential personnel matters. Stephanie, what's your response?
Due to budgetary issues and concerns that the station was facing at the time, and just in general, budgetary concerns of the entire organization, but specifically any sort of budgetary issues or concerns that KPFT was facing at the time. It was decided that the position needed to be moved, needed to be turned into a voluntary position. That offer of being a voluntary general manager was given and presented to the current general manager at that time. That was declined. And that general manager opted to move on to another position. To my knowledge, the former general manager has received another position and is no longer in the state. I have still served as a reference, a positive reference to this person multiple times since he opted to, or they opted to not take that position. Other people who had applied for the position of general manager at not only KPFT in the past, but also from other stations were all called and asked if they would be interested in applying for and taking the position of the interim general manager for KPFT as an unpaid position due to the budgetary concerns and constraints. No one wanted that position. That same pool of people, because we had some people even in California that had applied for this position, some people in Texas that applied for the position in California. So we had that same pool. And we also asked some of those individuals if they would be interested when the time came for an interim general manager unpaid at KPFK, and the same individuals declined.
Okay, thank you very much. I think that's the extent to which we can talk about things without broaching confidential matters. Okay, Richard.
William Shakespeare wrote a story entitled Much Ado About Nothing, and I think we're going there again.
Okay, I think we've got a couple of legacy hands up.
No, I have my hand up.
Sorry, Joseph, I thought it was a legacy hand. Go ahead.
You asked if we should both evaluate and do a search at the same time. I certainly think we should. There's no reason why we can't do both. I wanted to point out that somebody talked about evaluating in coordination with the office. The LSB is required in the bylaws to do the evaluation because we are the people on the ground here. We're not at WBAI. We're not at KPFA. We're here in Houston. And the bylaws specifically say we're encouraging and providing outlets for skills and energies of the community, which is our community here. So that's a really important reason why we have to lead this up. And of course, our executive director will be evaluating based on her relationship, which is different than ours. So I don't see that they're not well, the same thing. We can't tell the executive director how she functions with the GM any more than she can tell us how the community feels about what's going on at the station. Two different things. Currently, I mean, we've been listening to the GM reports currently from those reports. He's fully doing the job. Everything is going good. We are very grateful the fact that he's doing this on a voluntary basis, but there is no such thing as a different kind. There's no interim GM. There's no bunny rabbit GM. There's no any other kind of GM. There's only one job, and it is currently being filled. And we are thankful that it is filled and appreciate it, but we don't want to try to call things that they're not. And that's it. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that it probably makes sense for us to set the next meeting date and what topics we wish to discuss at the next meeting. I suggest 2 weeks and that we discuss the questions of timing for the IGM evaluation and posting for the permanent GM and whether
Adriana.
Both are needed. Adriana, do you have a comment?
Yes. Madam Chair, I believe that we don't need to decide all those issues now because according to how we always work, we can send if we have some issues that we all the members can send to you to make a draft agenda for the next meeting.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Adriana, what I think I have heard you say, because it was a little hard to hear you, is that you suggest that members of the committee send ideas about what to discuss at an upcoming meeting and when that might be appropriate. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. Is there any objection to our proceeding on that basis?
Would you pick a date for that you said maybe 2 weeks? That's in August. What day is that? Is that on a Monday or is that?
I suggest Chair, Monday.
I had my hand up.
Sorry. Yeah, Joseph.
I just wanted to suggest August 14th. I have some business on the 7th. So if anybody's okay with the 14th, I'd like to suggest it. Thank you.
Excellent. Is there any objection to August 14th?
What day of the week?
Monday.
Okay. If there's no objection. Sorry, Teresa?
Sometimes the national personnel is having meetings on those days too. It might be helpful if we could actually hold the meeting earlier in the day. So we could hold both meetings, but that might confine these meetings to either an hour or an hour and a half. Just
so,
a thought.
Teresa, what time does the personnel committee meet?
I think it's at 7:30 our time.
It's 7:30 our time.
So is there any objection to our meeting at 6:00 our time on August 14th? Hearing none.
Just a minute. Can we check kpfx.org? August 14th, is that what the day is? It's a strategic planning committee at 8:30 Eastern and a BAI outreach.
That's 7:30 our time. I second Teresa's motion that we meet at 6:00 or whoever's motion it was.
Okay. And Nancy, it does not conflict with strategic planning and it does not, we're scheduling it to not conflict with personnel. Is there any objection to 6:00 August 14th, which is a Monday? Hearing none, that is approved. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to mention one thing. Since I did bring us a couple of points of order and I don't have Jane's address, can I send them to you in writing and could you forward them on to the secretary for me? Thank you.
Yes, will do.
And I do move to adjourn.
Motion. So, Mac, are you putting forward a motion to adjourn?
Vigorously, yes.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we've adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Stephanie.
Thank you, everyone.